Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, coming up after our 7:30 a.m. Fox News update here, we'll have the phone lines open for you. And let me do a quick calendar recon for you here today. Let's see. I know we've got Henry Kriegel joining us around 8:20. He's with Americans for Prosperity Montana. Yeah, he joins us at 8:20 for our legislative update. Other than that, starting at 7:30 a.m. on through 10 a.m., the phone lines will be open for you and anything and everything you want to talk about. First up, it's Monday. Every Monday, we like to jumpstart your week with business news and, of course, the great insight and analysis from Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, great to have you on the show on this Monday. Sounds like we've got some good news. The warmest weather of 2025 yet is blowing in later this week. So there's at least some good news to start off the week with.
Yes, it is. I'm just not a snow fan, so I have been waiting anxiously for this.
See, I love the snow, but you know what? The beauty of Montana is we get to enjoy all the weather, all the seasons. So I like the snow, but I also like the heat as well. So either way, we're going to be good. What's the good news on the business front? I think the governor talking about raising the exemption for business equipment taxes and providing more relief on that front, that's certainly a candidate for a good news story to start with.
Yes, it really is. You know, I can remember way back when, those business taxes, right down to when we started the newspaper, you know, we had to pay taxes on, you know, just the furniture in our office. And it was just nonsensical. And it, you know, if you're starting out and you're using a door across two empty boxes for a table, you know, those a few dollars here and there matter a whole lot. In fact, they didn't believe us that that was our table.
But they tapped you on the door nonetheless, I'll bet, huh?
Well, I don't recall that they did. I think they were probably stunned when I explained.
Yeah, it's the business equipment tax is just such a holdover of failed tax policy of the past. That's really what has destroyed Montana's industrial base and made our state more and more reliant on residential property taxpayers, because we've destroyed our industrial base. These left-wing policies over all these years that we're just now starting to try and rebuild, frankly. All right, well, hold that thought. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Some other good news in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet here this morning. The natural gas tax dropped. President Donald Trump signing into law a resolution repealing Biden-era fees on methane emissions. So you guys who get energy from natural gas, when Biden and the Democrats tax that, you pay that, just in case you weren't aware.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. The skies remain cloudy through the day today. We'll see a few rain showers around the area as well. High temperatures from 53 in Bozeman to 61 in the Billings area. Still going to see an isolated shower into tonight. So low temperatures in the low to mid 40s. And then the outlook for Tuesday. Isolated shower chance early, then mainly sunny skies expected. Highs from 60 to 65 degrees. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Fromley.
This is House Call for Health. March is Workplace Eye Wellness Month. At the University of North Carolina, the School of Medicine's Ophthalmology Department writes that workers both remote and in the office with desk jobs deal increasingly with digital eye strain from extended periods in front of screens. They say there's no association between the eye strain and irreparable damage to vision, but that workers who spend a lot of time on computers should be aware of the prospect of developing low-level eye pain, dry or red eyes, and even headaches. The school suggests several tips to help with workplace eye wellness, including taking breaks or the 20-20-20 rule, which is setting a timer as a reminder to look 20 feet away every 20 minutes for 20 seconds. And practice eye ergonomics. Sit about an arm's length away from your screen and adjust the brightness and contrast so it feels comfortable. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
All right.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, so much of the coverage from the liberal TV stations, especially the Scripps TV station, they're just following the Democrat Party script on everything. But I would say, though, David Jay, he does a good job. David Jay had a great report that somehow made it through the tariff war fear porn, as we've been calling it, that's part of the script from the Scripps stations. David Jay had a good report here. Montana loggers and saw millers say tariffs on Canadian products will help U.S. businesses. And Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal, I know you've been looking into and getting some Montana-specific reactions to the tariffs that President Trump is proposing. You know, you tariff us, we're going to tariff you. And he's trying to rebuild America's manufacturing base. And so far, that part is working with all of these investments that are being announced back here in the United States of America. But what's standing out to you right now?
Well, along those lines, that's really true. I don't know if you there was a television interview of a couple of different livestock producers, and they had absolutely the opposite impacts that they expected from tariffs. One rancher was concerned about having the retaliatory tariffs being imposed upon him as he tried to sell product into Canada, and the other was his market was more in the United States, and he was pointing out that tariffs on imports from Canada would make his competitors' products more expensive, and it was a benefit to him, and so, you know, that's really the story of tariffs is they land all over the place and have different impacts for different people. I would like to say that overall, over a period of time and stuff, they are not good because in both countries they manage to reduce the standard of living and impose unnecessary costs on everybody in commerce. But one interesting thing that I encountered was in The Hill, a magazine, they said that this tariff war might help combat inflation. And they said that consumers will react to it by pulling back on spending. They will exert significant downward pressure on inflation by doing so, even if the tariffs themselves never fully materialize or don't continue. They said that this could create an economic placebo effect. So that was an interesting insight, I thought. But
well, and Canada has subsidized their timber industry for years, while our federal government, by and large, has attacked our timber industry through these liberal federal judges and these radical environmental groups. And so, yeah, this is a case in point where if we want to make Montana's timber industry great again, that's why President Trump is doing this, because right now we are completely reliant on Canadian timber or Canadian lumber. And it's crazy. We are committing economic suicide as a country with what we've been doing. And all these people who say, oh, tariffs are bad, tariffs are bad. Yeah, then why don't you go tell that to our so-called friends that tariff us?
Right, and they have been. You know, lots of countries have been imposing tariffs on us that we actually even haven't heard our elected representatives complain about. You know, if they were so concerned about them, why were they so silent about them for so long? But the tariffs from Montana, I mentioned this before, that Montana is the state that is most impacted in the nation by the tariffs. And they are being imposed, of course, from Mexico, Canada, and China. Those are the specific ones that really impact Montana. Montana gets 91% of its imports from Canada alone. So some of the tariffs went into effect at the beginning of this month, and others are supposed to go into effect on April 2nd, I understand. But Montana will see at least two-thirds of our imports impacted, and we rank eighth among the eight top states as being impacted. And one of the things about imports is, while they may—I already kind of commented on that about how they may hurt some and benefit other producers—and Montana, for example, agriculture is being hugely impacted in many ways, but fertilizer, most of Montana ag producers purchase their fertilizer from Canada, and the prices jumped 25%, but many producers kind of saw this coming, not just because of tariffs, but I think for other reasons too. So they have purchased fertilizer in advance, so that may help somewhat. Yellowstone County is really in the crosshairs of this, because our number one import from Canada is crude oil.
That's right. It's Canadian oil that goes into the refineries here in Montana. And so, yeah, that's why that's why President Trump lowered the tariff on imported oil from Canada compared to what the other tariffs were, right?
Right. I think so. And another interesting aspect is, another business in Billings that is being impacted is the auto auction. They are in business, of course, of selling used cars, auctioning off about 500 vehicles each week.
And lots of cross-border traffic, it sounds like. All right, hold that thought, Evelyn. Quick break. Back after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The story is told that legendary military leader George Marshall spent time during the 30s compiling a list, noting people with more talent than their rank and those who were just the opposite. He was then free when the war erupted to promote the best and fire the deadwood. That studied deliberation stands in contrast to the lightning-fast, indiscriminate layoffs and terminations taking place in the federal government today. One of the guiding principles in federal cost-cutting today is, quote, if you're not adding things back at least 10% of the time, you're clearly not cutting enough. So perhaps a change to our approach to federal government spending cuts will arrive at the same destination as George Marshall managed to get to all those years ago. Only the road will be a lot bumpier. Certainly a different way of doing business for government, and it may prove to be a terrible fit. That's because government's job has been and always will be to provide the things that have value but that no one will pay for. Consistency, predictability. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
It's safe to say that President Trump and Elon Musk are not big fans of the New York Times, Musk calling the paper pure propaganda. The president is saying it's a disgraceful purveyor of fake news and it's garbage. All this having to do with a story that caused a media uproar in which the Times said that Musk was going to the Pentagon to receive a briefing that would include potential war plans involving China, and that this would be a major conflict of interest for a guy who has business interests in China, as well as many billions of dollars worth of federal contracts with our government. Now, the Times cited four different sources, and the Wall Street Journal later confirmed the report. And maybe that's why they suddenly backed off, saying, oh, no, no, it was never going to be about China. But the backlash from the administration is pretty strong. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
USDA has announced Bill Beam as the next administrator of the Farm Service Agency. Beam is a Pennsylvania farmer and president of Rural Investment to Protect Our Environment, or RIPE. The new administrator will work with USDA to provide leadership and manage conservation, commodity, disaster, and farm marketing programs. He's also the owner and operator of Beam Farms, a fourth-generation farmer raising corn, soy, wheat, hay, specialty crops, and beef in Pennsylvania. He's also a champion for conservation and a non-till producer, and served as the deputy administrator for farm programs at the FSA from 2018 to 2021. Speaking of USDA, Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins hosted a stakeholder update to provide a progress report on USDA's five-pronged strategy to combat highly pathogenic avian influenza and lower ag prices. Less than a month after the plan's rollout, USDA reports significant advancements across the five areas. Rollins said USDA is making targeted investments and driving innovation to keep the food supply strong and affordable. Since February 26th, wholesale egg prices have dropped almost 50%. The New York wholesale egg price peaked at $8.53 a dozen before dropping to $4.08 a dozen as of March 19th. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, now I got to go find this post on X. It was a tweet, a couple, 3 weeks ago. Everything seems like it was 2-3 weeks ago. It could be 2-3 months ago by now. It was a very interesting write-up by Ashley Kerr, who markets horses here in Montana. And really cool write-up here. Navigating tariffs in the horse market, a call for local support and fair trade. And anyways, it's pretty interesting here, especially with what Evelyn Pyburn is sharing with the research that she's doing, looking at tariffs and how it's going to impact cross-border traffic, shall we say. But yeah, I think one takeaway from this, and Ashley Kerr, tell me if I'm wrong on this one, she is on X at Saddle Horses. I should just give that a repost right now. There we go. I thought I did before. Anyway, one takeaway was that, okay, if you're a Canadian and you want to sell a horse in the United States, no tariff. But if you're American and you want to sell a horse into Canada, they're going to tariff you. And obviously there's more to the story there too, but I just thought, Evelyn Pyburn, I thought that was kind of interesting because, yeah, it's oftentimes not a two-way street, and when Trump wants to make it a two-way street, they want to put up the barricades, don't they?
Yeah, I my understanding is that it's been like that for automobiles with Europe for a long time, and it's the lopsided tariff situation has hurt American or U.S.'s auto industry for quite a while, and you know that seemed to be okay. You know, that is what really gets me is even right now a lot of the reports on this whole tariff business, they still don't mention that there are tariffs being imposed on all kinds of products coming to the United States. I think wine has always been subject to, you know, because California produces a lot of wine, and I don't think they accept it. I don't recall exactly, but there, I remember reading about the U.S. wine producers' difficulties in trying to get access to other markets, and they couldn't because of the tariffs. So, yeah, it's kind of a lopsided thing. But if you think horses is a commodity that's being hard hit, the really devastating thing is that your favorite brew is also likely to increase in price, and maybe some will disappear, because one of the things we get from Canada is malt, and brewers have been scrambling to get malt in advance from Canada and then looking around for other malt producers. So you may not find your favorite brew, or at the very least, you're going to be paying more for it. And, you know, I don't know what would be more devastating than that.
Or you know, maybe we need a boost in our domestic malt production as well. Let me correct what I said previously. This is actually interesting. Horse sales are actually the one thing where it's actually the opposite. Horse sale. I went back and read Ashley Kerr's post here. It's actually interesting that horse sales are actually the opposite, whereas that's actually one of the rare categories where the U.S. already had tariffs on Canadians selling horses into America, but they didn't have ones against our horses. But what's interesting is she writes here that as tariffs make cross-border sales more costly, they nudge buyers and sellers toward local markets. It's a shift that could breathe new life into our domestic horse industry. And she says, as an equine sales and marketing expert, I've long seen the potential in American bred and trained horses, often overshadowed by international imports. So that was actually kind of an interesting twist. Yeah, that's why I wanted to go back and read that one. So I apologize, but I wanted to make sure I put out the correct information there. If I ever put out something inaccurate, I want to quickly correct it there. You know, when I was talking with the grain growers president, for example, last Thursday and Friday, Thursday up in Plentywood, you know, hey, the farmers are very leery of any tariffs, right? But they also understand, this was the impression that I got, that President Trump is trying to fight back against a massive trade deficit that he just inherited.
Yeah, I think that is what a lot of people see, is that the tariffs are a means to an end. And so there's a feeling I get in talking to business people and those who are being impacted. It's kind of a wait and see attitude. They seem to know and understand that this may hopefully be just nothing but a temporary situation, and that there are other goals in line. And
well said. Hold that thought, Evelyn, if you can. That's for you here. If you want to call in, you got something you want to talk about. I know Representative Jerry Schillinger out of Circle called in earlier. Jerry, now is a great time to call in. But I do want to come back to Evelyn Pyburn here with the Big Sky Business Journal. Yeah, Evelyn, you just summed it up so well there that, hey, for the people that don't like tariffs, for the people that are leery of tariffs, they understand that that's not the end game here. This is a means to an end. And I think, especially in farm and ranch country, where people are maybe the most leery of tariffs, they have a trust for Donald J. Trump, and a trust that Donald J. Trump will deliver. And on that point, you know, it's worth noting, and this is a story I was going to get to here in a few minutes. Montana Senator Steve Daines has been in China over the past few days, meeting with top officials there, addressing trade and much more. And remember, it was Trump, first term Trump, that for the first time ever, or for the first time in a long time, opened up American beef to the Chinese markets. And I think he's going to deliver. If he hadn't gotten cut off in 2020 and Biden hadn't been installed, I think we'd be in a much better situation right now for American farmers and ranchers. But you were talking about the auto brokers and how apparently they do a lot of cross-border traffic when it comes to vehicle sales as well. So I wanted to go back to that.
Well, yes, I was talking with Jake Gersh with Auto Auction of Montana, and he said that they sell about 500 vehicles a week through their auction, and about 50% of those are imports from Canada. And if there is a tariff on any vehicle that is made in Canada. So not all of those vehicles that come here from Canada were made in Canada, so they are exempt from the tariff. But about 10% of them were built in Canada, and so they get hit by the tariff. And they pretty much have dried up. They don't get those vehicles that were built in Canada. So they have already felt the impact of this and have seen prices rise on the used vehicles because of that. But it's just a kind of a little corner of our commerce that you don't maybe readily think about as being impacted by this. So I'm sure that there's a lot of little corners here and there that are being impacted that affect our economy, but they don't have high visibility.
Yeah. And by the way, I did see that Senator Steve Daines is now back from his trip to China on behalf of President Donald J. Trump. So I'm sure we'll get more of a readout here, if not later today, later in the week. Evelyn Pyburn, always appreciate your reporting. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great week. We will take a quick break here on the show, and then we've got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. Jerry, he's not in Florida. He's in Circle. Actually, he's in Helena for the legislative session. But Jerry, great time to call in right now, 294-0970.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Did I mention that on Friday? I can't remember. When did that press release come in? I know I tweeted out the news on Friday on X. Yeah, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, the great governor of Florida, is going to be in Montana today if he's not here already. I shared a post on X on Friday. I got an advisory from Montana Governor Greg Gianforte that Governor DeSantis would be in the state today. He's holding a press conference with the governor in the Montana Capitol this afternoon. So I know I was tempted to make a trip to Helena to be in the room for that one. I just hope somebody in the liberal Montana media tries to spar with Ron DeSantis. Please, please, please pick a fight with Ron DeSantis. You know, Governor Gianforte, he's used to you guys, so he doesn't need to body slam you. He could just kind of give you the old, you know, the nice sounding stiff arm. But Ron DeSantis, oh, please pick a fight with him. Please. Would you please pick a fight with Ron DeSantis later today? Because you know we're going to have the audio tomorrow. Anyway, yeah, that would have been fun to be in the room, but we can cover the press conference from here. And then I got to be in Great Falls already tomorrow afternoon. I know I could have made a whole week out of it, but that's all right. That's all right. Hey, let's see. Yeah, I'll have more on that story coming up here. I'll tell you. So some of you are probably asking, well, why is he coming to Montana? I've got a little bit of insight, plus some more speculation. I'll get into that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of this show. Let's see. First, though, phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about, we were talking about trade and tariffs. Great report there by Evelyn Pyburn. Right on, John in Bozeman sent us a message last hour. Sorry, we're just now getting to that one. Right on, John. But he says the fill-in new Prime Minister of Canada is starting to get mouthy again, even more now that he has a few days in the lead. Yeah, what the Prime Minister of this fill-in Prime Minister, Mark Carney is his name, what he's trying to do is he's trying to get Canadians to see him and them as the victims so that he can use that victimhood status to win the election for Prime Minister. So Canada will likely get another Justin Trudeau, another weak Justin Trudeau, to weaken the Canadian economy even further than it's already been weakened. By the way, Donald Trump was asked about this by Peter Doocy, Let me see if we have that audio. Let's see. Do we have Ducey? Maybe we didn't snag that one. Okay. Yeah, I don't think we... But anyway, basically, like, Peter Ducey said, well, wait a minute. If you make Canada the 51st state, doesn't that basically bring in another blue state, a Democrat state? And what do you think about the elections up there? You know, Pierre Poilievre would actually be a strong leader and probably a good leader for Canada. But no, they want an anti-Trump, a never-Trump. Not that Poilievre is pro-Trump or anything like that, but he would be a strong leader for Canada. But they have to have an anti-Trump. They have to have the opposite of Trump. So they have to have a wimpy leader like this Mark Carney guy. They have to have another Justin Trudeau, another far leftist. But anyway, Red on John says, try and strong arm big Donald J. Trump and you will lose even more. So that is the message from Right on John in Bozeman. Let's see. Let's go next to speaking of trade here before I get to more of your messages. Speaking of trade. Yeah. Senator Steve Daines now back from China. I got a readout over the weekend. This one came out a couple of days ago. Senator Steve Daines on Saturday met with the Chinese vice premier, He Lifeng. And his spokesperson, Rachel Dumpke, said, quote, Senator Daines welcomed today's meeting with the vice premier. The senator voiced President Trump's ongoing call for China to stop the flow of fentanyl precursors and expressed hope that further high-level talks between the United States and China will take place in the near future. The Associated Press had a report on Friday, late Friday, I believe it was, about how Senator Steve Daines, a strong supporter of President Donald Trump, met with a senior Chinese diplomat in Beijing at a time when the U.S. and China have swapped tariff threats and harsh words over each other's handling of illegal trade in fentanyl. You like how the liberal Associated Press tries to make it sound like there's some both sides thing going on here when it's clearly China that is dumping illicit fentanyl into the United States of America with their buddies in the Mexican drug cartels. And the Associated Press acts like, oh, well, you know, both sides claim that they're involved in the illicit handling of fentanyl. Jeremy Carl, senior fellow at the Claremont Institute, who lives in Bozeman, says it is a huge asset for America and Montana that Senator Steve Daines is a trusted emissary for President Trump in Beijing. Daines met with China's premier in our first high-level meeting with Chinese officials in the second Trump term. He brings extensive direct experience in China that is rare for a senior U.S. elected official. He also has the president's full confidence and support, which is essential for these sort of meetings to be successful. Jeremy Carl added, China is our major strategic competitor, and they're not going anywhere, so it is vital to keep lines of dialogue open. It's also great for Montana, as a small population state, to have our interests and perspective represented to Beijing at such a high level. And, of course, you know, when we talk about marketing Montana farm products, Montana beef, we've got a massive trade deficit with China right now that Donald J. Trump inherited from Joe Biden and the Democrats. A couple of messages that came in over the weekend on the Montana Talks app. Monty in Roundup says this, for 4 years of the Biden administration, we were all told that the greatest threat to America was right-wing extremist domestic terrorism. Now we have actual domestic terrorism by the left against Elon Musk and his companies, and there's no mention of this being a threat to America. Monty says, no wonder nobody likes the Democrats anymore. Now, not only that, Monty, not only do you have left-wing domestic terrorism going on right now, targeting Teslas and targeting Elon Musk and his companies or people with Trump flags oftentimes, but look at the terrorism that was brought domestic to the United States of America through the open borders illegal alien invasion. on our Montana Talks website over the weekend. I shared the story, the news, that another Trende Aragua related arrest occurred here in Montana, this time in the Havre Border Patrol sector. The Mexican drug cartels are domestic terrorists. Well, they're foreign terrorists who were allowed to become domestic terrorists because of the Joe Biden, John Tester open borders regime. And then the Trende Aragua Venezuelan prison gang of illegal aliens is also another terrorist group that's been operating on American and Montanan soil. And there was another arrest that we announced on our Montana Talks website over the weekend, this time in the Havre Border Patrol sector. Evan in Belt, he's going, speaking of Teslas, did you guys hear about this Democrat Senator Mark Kelly? He's married to the gun grabber Gabby Giffords, who wants to take away your gun rights. Mark Kelly, Evan and Belt calls him a hypocritical phony. Mark Kelly traded in, well, or did he sell? Either way, he got rid of his Tesla electric vehicle and traded it in for a gas-guzzling SUV. Hey, I have no problem with that. I like driving pickups and SUVs. Got one of each at our house. You need it. It's Montana, for Pete's sake, right? Anyway, I'll tell you more about what Evan in Belt had to say about Mark Kelly right after this. First up, though, hey, springtime is definitely here. It's going to feel like it later this week for sure for most of the state. Great time to do some home improvements. Let me tell you about YHIC, your home improvement company. You can transform your space. Get up to 30% off on a bathroom remodel. Imagine turning your bathroom into a spa-like retreat. Well, now you can do it with 30% off a bathroom remodel, plus financing you can handle, zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 12 months. That's 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. This is a limited-time offer you don't want to miss. Let me repeat, get up to 30% off a bathroom remodel. Call 406-948-2836 right now. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com to find out how. Jerry must have gotten tied up in legislative meetings in Helena, but that's all right, Jerry. We got the phone lines open for pretty much the next 2 hours.
I can say to my new Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra, hey, find a keto-friendly restaurant nearby and text it to Beth and Steve. And it does, without me lifting a finger, so I can get in more squats anywhere I can. One, two, three.
Will that be cash or credit?
Credit. Four.
Galaxy S25 Ultra, the AI companion that does the heavy lifting so you can do you. Get yours at Samsung.com. Compatible with select apps, requires Google Gemini account. Results may vary based on input. Check responses for accuracy.
Fox News commentary.
Operation Stork Speed. HHS Secretary RFK Jr. ordered the first baby formula review in decades. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It is time to take the quiz.
It's five questions in less than 5 minutes. We ask people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
I'm having what she's having. It's a quote from a 1989 film starring Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan. Name the film.
E.T.
When Harry Met Sally.
You got it. When Harry Met Sally.
Either way you did, you can always try again tomorrow. Take the quiz every day at thequiz.fox. Then come back here to see how you did.
Thank you for taking the quiz.
HHS Secretary RFK Jr. is off to a hot start on his quest to make America healthy again. His latest target is baby formula. He launched a probe with the FDA to study contaminants, specifically the presence of heavy metals in baby formula. RFK Jr. noted a comprehensive look into the formulation and possible contaminants hasn't been done since the late 90s. The probe will also review the nutritional content of baby formula to ensure it's up to modern standards. In addition, RFK Jr. is pushing for more domestic production and views it as a national security issue. Parents, and especially mothers everywhere, should rejoice because it is well beyond time for this Operation Stork Speed. Make America and America's babies healthy again. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. This guy's remain cloudy through the day today. We'll see a few rain showers around the area as well. High temperatures from 53 in Bozeman to 61 in the Billings area. Still going to see an isolated shower into tonight. So low temperatures in low to mid 40s. And then the outlook for Tuesday. Isolated shower chance early, then mainly sunny skies expected. Highs from 60 to 65 degrees. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, I'll tell you what, this is great news for Montana schools, Montana teachers, Montana kids. President Donald J. Trump signing an executive order to finally start dismantling the corrupt Federal Department of Education. Let's take all that money that's going to D.C. bureaucrats with all this regulatory garbage, and let's get that money back to Montana for us, our kids, and our schools. I had a great conversation with Superintendent...
...percent on your Babbel subscription when you text radio to 64,000. That's radio to 64,000. Text radio to 64,000.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, give me a second there. A little slow putting the headset back on because I want to send an email to the Gallatin County Attorney's Office. Hey, why is he wanted for contempt of court? And now I just got to paste the link in there. So this is an illegal alien who was just arrested by Border Patrol out of the Whitefish Station in northwest Montana. And apparently he's got a rap sheet. He's previously deported, but he is wanted for contempt of court in Bozeman. Why would he be wanted for contempt of court in Bozeman? Did he commit an offense in Bozeman and then not show up for court in Bozeman? And why did he not show up for court in Bozeman? Was he not kept behind bars like he should have been? That's just a question I have. Maybe there's more to that story, maybe not. But it certainly seems like, wow, why isn't he? He should have had no problem showing up for his court hearing if he was kept behind bars like the previously deported illegal alien should have been. All right, Evan and Belt sent us a message about Arizona Democrat Senator Mark Kelly. Senator Mark Kelly is a hypocritical phony. As a veteran myself, I'm not here to critique his service. But by the way I was raised, you can tell a lot about a man by his actions. Senator Kelly, you sure did not mind driving that Tesla when you were pushing the climate control bill, which is a bunch of Adam Schiff, that you and the left-wing lunatics were pushing. But as soon as Elon joined President Trump to try and save this country, you showed your true colors when you sold the Tesla and called him a blank hole. Senator Kelly, I served for 33 years and my retirement certificate was signed by Barack Obama. Now, let me be clear. I can't think of anything I like about the man, but the position he held as president of this great country is a respected one because of the many men who held that position with honor before him. And because of that, I display that certificate in my office with pride. Again, this is from Evan Inbelt. So, Senator Kelly, maybe before you sold that Tesla, you should have considered what Elon has done and is doing. Let's start with Starlink that helped out North Carolinians and Californians in their time of need, as well as many other nations. Then let's move to SpaceX, which just rescued some of your fellow astronauts from the ISS because your party didn't want to send up a rocket earlier because of political reasons. Then there's Neuralink, which could help those with neurological injuries to walk again. And he's also working on remedies to cure cancer. And finally, that car that you just sold that was the pride and joy of you climate alarmist wackos employs many thousands of U.S. citizens. Yes, this tells me a lot about you, Senator Kelly. And I really can't wait for the day that the good citizens of Arizona replace you with someone who has the best interest of the great state in our country in mind. So anyway, Evan and Belt, thanks for that message. Let's see. God, that practically gets us through the 7 o'clock hour already, and there is so much more that I wanted to get to that I still haven't gotten to yet, but that's all right. We got more time coming up for me and for you in the next 2 hours. Plenty of time to take your phone calls in the next couple of hours of the show. Here's a phone call you got to make. If you're looking to lose the weight this spring and you want to keep the weight off for life, let me tell you about the program that works. It's the program that I've gone through. It's the program that Tim and Savage went through. He lost 90 pounds thanks to Billings' last diet. I check in with my diet coach once a month. That's how I've stayed on track 7 years later, almost 8 years now, since I first went through Billings last night. The great news is they've now got a remote option available as well, so you don't have to be in Billings to benefit from Billings Last Diet. You can be out there on the Mondakistan border. You can be in Kalispell. You can be in Butte. You could be in North Carolina. Get a hold of Billings Last Diet, BillingsLastDiet.com, or give them a call right now, 406-294-6751, and then we'll take your phone calls in the next hour.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The story is told that legendary military leader George Marshall spent time during the 30s compiling a list, noting people with more talent than their rank and those who were just the opposite. He was then free when the war erupted to promote the best and fire the deadwood. That studied deliberation stands in contrast to the lightning-fast, indiscriminate layoffs and terminations taking place in the federal government today. One of the guiding principles in federal cost-cutting today is, quote, if you're not adding things back at least 10% of the time, you're clearly not cutting enough. So perhaps a chainsaw approach to federal government spending cuts will arrive at the same destination as George Marshall managed to get to all those years ago, only the road will be a lot bumpier. Certainly a different way of doing business for government, and it may prove to be a terrible fit. That's because government's job has been and always will be to provide the things that have value but that no one will pay for. Consistency, predictability. I'm Patrick Brody.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.